Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be watching right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button. It helps the show quite a bit. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. If you want to contribute to the show, kick in, pledge. We have a bevy of rewards, which we're going to be updating soon. We're going to be adding stuff.
Larson. Yes, we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. How many designs now? 9?
I think number 9. Now, it's weird. I just checked that there's like 2 Mecha Santa shirts up, but they're the same one. I think when I submitted it, either I submitted the wrong file, but the title was still Mecha Santa. I don't know, man. We got duplicate Mecha Santa shirts, but I did submit a new one, and then I know you've been working on some too.
Yeah, I could have within the next couple of weeks up to 4 designs on the way.
Whoa, Mr. Prolific! All of a sudden,
I have a lot of ideas up here. I'm finally teaching myself how to use Photoshop.
That's good. It's a really fun program.
Competently,
we're gonna be rivaling the Young Bucks in quantity. At least. Maybe quality, probably not revenue.
No, not even close.
Anyways.
Speaking of the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Let's get right into the news. Ooh. So there were some huge, huge, huge developments Friday night at Ring of Honor's War of the World show, which is a crossover event between Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
One of the hottest free agent in all of wrestling, Adam Cole wrestled Hiroshi Tanahashi during that show. And following Adam Cole's loss to Tanahashi, something pretty major happened.
Yeah, we got a little switcheroo going on. Adam Cole, baby, was kicked out of Bullet Club, baby, in exchange for Marty Scurll.
So let's break down the sequence of events. So after the match.
Technical pro wrestling.
After the match, the Young Bucks come into the ring. Act like they're about to super kick Adam Cole, mm-hmm. swerved us. Mm-hmm. They all hug. Mm-hmm. In the middle of their embrace, mm-hmm. lights go out. And then there's a video with Kenny Omega, more or less saying, we have a villain now. Marty Scurll comes in the frame. He fires Adam Cole from Bullet Club.
Ooh.
Lights come back up. Marty Scurll's in the ring. Mm-hmm. He opens up his umbrella. Has a Bullet Club logo on it.
On the umbrella. Yeah.
The Young Bucks act like they're shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. But then they swerved us again.
Yeah.
Super kicked Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Marty Scurll took off his jacket, his coat, Bullet Club t-shirt.
Bullet Club, yeah, confirmed by the t-shirt.
Yeah.
The umbrella is one thing.
I know.
You can't get a Bullet Club t-shirt unless you're in Bullet Club, though.
Or you go to Pro Wrestling Tees.
That's right.
And then he hit Adam Cole with an umbrella. So Adam Cole has been fired.
You've been fired. Now I have many questions here. A, severance package. What are we looking at for Adam Cole? Bullet Club severance package. What is it?
I would think at least 3 months pay.
I would think 3 months pay, maybe like a members only discount code for their Pro Wrestling Tees Bullet Club shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah,
just those,
sounds right.
Just those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he, and number two, is he still going to be in the Being the Elite? Is he still, there's so many questions. Is he still a part of the Super Click?
Well, No, because the Young Bucks kicked him out.
Of the Super Click?
I would think so.
But no, they kicked him out of Bullet Club.
I know, but they typically do, apart from their YouTube channel, do a good job on the indies, like adhering to Bullet Club canon, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I would be very surprised. In the near future, at least.
I know. Adam Cole team up. I think they have actually released a new Being the Elite that might give some insight into this. I'm not sure. I'll have to catch up on my Being the Elite.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, a lot of questions here that we have. And I know you guys have a lot of questions too. What do you think? Okay, so there's two things here. We're going to talk about Bullet Club in a second, but first let's talk about Adam Cole.
Yes, so it was also announced over the weekend that Adam Cole, because everybody, you know, as soon as he's kicked out, they all thought, okay, well, he's going to show up in the crowd ringside at NXT this weekend. Guaranteed, that's what people were thinking.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, that's a pretty safe bet, but I thought there might be other options for him. He's going to be wrestling.
Please say TNA.
No, not an option.
X Division.
Adam Cole is going to be wrestling in International Wrestling Cartel Super Indie Tournament.
Yeah.
June 10th. Mm-hmm. So he has at least one more independent date scheduled. Obviously, that date is after NXT TakeOver. Not to say that he can't show up in the crowd at TakeOver.
Yeah, that's like the least. I mean, it's funny because everybody kind of says that, and it's obvious, but it's like, I think Drew McIntyre is still wrestling for WCPW. That's an exaggeration, but...
Well, he just did. But, he just dropped the title. But their title.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And so there is absolutely precedent for guys, you know, signing with WWE,
fulfilling their booked indie dates.
Even showing up, and then after the fact, fulfilling, you know, previously booked dates.
The Hardys just did that, too.
The Hardys did that, and if you recall, before the Hardys sort of made their debut at Mania, you know, Jeff Hardy, I think a week before, said, you know, I honestly think that they're actually, these days, they kind of use the indie date thing.
The cover-up. Debuts, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jeff Hardy beforehand said something like, you know, no, we're not. We're scheduled. He says we're contracted with Ring of Honor. He literally said we're contracted with Ring of Honor until the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not true.
No.
So yeah, it is abs. Now, I mean, as recently, I think as last week, Adam Cole said in an interview that, you know, essentially he has all of his options open. And
that he was
going to
take his time.
Yeah, exactly. But... You know, the WWE, what we know, you know, what has been obvious is they don't want anybody knowing anything until they get to make either the announcement or the on-screen debut. Yeah. So, yeah, there is, we won't know for sure, really, unless it leaks somehow. But I imagine we won't know for sure until TakeOver. And as soon as he's spotted in the crowd, our Twitter feed is going to go crazy.
Yep.
So, he's 27. You know, I was watching War of the Worlds. Are we going to do a recap video on War of the Worlds? A lot of people are asking us to. I know the last Ring of Honor one we didn't do terribly well.
Yeah,
but
it's just finding time, you know, because there's Raw tonight, SmackDown tomorrow.
There's Backlash this weekend.
There's a lot we got
to
do.
So there's a lot we have to do. But, I mean, we might talk about it a little bit. Like, we might integrate it in, like, the dirt sheet, just basic thoughts.
We'll see what we can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this right here we're talking about is a major story to come out of the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hangman Page is only 25. He's
really?
Good. Yeah, he's good.
I thought he's wrestled for a while.
He might have, but he's only 25.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was like, man, why is it like he's really good on the mic.
Yeah.
He's very athletic. He's deceivingly athletic.
He is, yeah.
And I was like, man, why is, and I like just the simple visual of the Hangman gimmick, you know, the Hangman Page gimmick. He wrestled Kazarian at War of the Worlds, and it was a good match. And I was like, man, why isn't this guy more of a centerpiece somewhere? I'm like, he's only 25.
Here's another thing that came out of the show. I think it was before the actual pay-per-view started, is that New Japan announced they have a United States Championship
now. Yes,
that's
right.
And that, we're getting a little sidetracked here, but I want to get this in.
No, because that's kind of a big deal.
It is. It is a huge deal. And that there's going to be a tournament at the two G1 shows in Long Beach to determine the first champion.
Yeah.
And so far, Jay Lethal and I believe Hangman Page... Mm-hmm. Jay Lethal is officially in the tournament, they kind of inferred that Hangman Page is going to be in it as well.
They also confirmed that at those shows, the heavyweight title and the Intercontinental Championship, they're both going to be defended. That's confirmed. So we are
great
gonna
news.
Get matches.
We're going to see some awesome wrestling those 2 days.
It's going to be fantastic. We hope you guys will be able to attend as well. Our friendos out there in the LA area.
Yes, and if not, I believe it's going to be streaming live in New Japan World, and I think Access is going to broadcast it live too.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
I thought that's what I heard.
Good for them. So speaking of New Japan. What next for Bullet Club? What do you think about Marty Scurll joining Bullet Club? Because I'm like, I guess the bigger question is, at this point, who could join Bullet Club that would actually make a big impact? Because I feel like Marty...
John Cena.
Okay, that's the question answered there.
CM Punk.
Jeff Jarrett again.
Well, was he ever kicked out? He's still a member then.
I assume he's still a member. I don't know contractually he's allowed to wear the gear though. So, okay, so number one, Marty Scurll. What do you think? Now, we're both big Marty Scurll fans.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
By the way, he has got, I don't know who does his merchandise.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Everybody should get that fella to do his because, oh my gosh, his merchandise is amazing. There's three new Marty Scurll designs up at Pro Wrestling Tees, and they're all Bullet Club themed, and they're all great.
Yes.
Whoever does his graphic design stuff is amazing.
Yes.
What do you think about Marty Scurll joining Bullet Club? Are we officially at the phase of the NWO when it's just they're just throwing anything, they're throwing everything against the wall, see what sticks? Because I feel like, yes, that's the answer, yes.
Since Marty is working the best of the Super Juniors tournament this year, and I would assume maybe start working more dates for New Japan, I can see the appeal of him joining Bullet Club, especially if, because I know Cody Rhodes said at some point he's going to sign a full-time contract with some promotion.
I would assume either New Japan or Ring of Honor.
He kind of inferred that it might be Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and he held up the world title, I think, during War of the Worlds.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was during one of the TV tapings.
Okay.
During the TV tapings.
And, you know, I would... Granted, I know Ring of Honor and New Japan have a close working relationship, but it might cast doubt on his future somewhat in New Japan as far as working consistent regular dates there. And then also with the prospect of Kenny Omega leaving at some point next year, I would understand why New Japan would want to say, okay, we need someone to join Bullet Club that could take over in the event that we lose Cody for the most part and Kenny completely. And in that sense, because I think my biggest worry about that is Marty Scurll is so good. I don't want him to get lost in the shuffle of a large stable. He should be front and center. If it was him leading a stable, I'd be completely down with it.
Okay.
Because I think he has that ability to lead a stable and make it awesome.
Yeah. I'm formulating a new opinion in my head as you talk.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Bullet Club is that stable. Yeah. If and when he takes control of that stable, then I could be able to form a better opinion on it.
Yeah.
But right now, my initial instinct is I like him so much as a solo competitor. It's kind of a bummer. But at the same time, if this is some long-term booking, and this is just the first step in it, I'm willing to give it the time to see how it plays out.
Okay, here's my take, and I've just formulated this.
Okay.
Because I was like, I was kind of torn on it. I'm trying to think to myself, okay, what can you do to like really, you know, so it's not like NWO of late. But here's the thing. It's funny when you say forming his own faction because – First of all, who in New Japan? I'm like the only name that really comes to mind is Shibata, but he's from all reports done with.
Yeah,
who is without a faction? Because now you can consider Taguchi Japan its own faction. They literally have their own merch now. So, and Juice Robinson's there. Like that was a name that I was thinking of, but no, he's with Taguchi Japan basically. I mean, I know it's a very loose faction.
Yeah,
it's not like
yeah.
that. But New Japan kind of seems like it's I don't want to use this, like, don't look too much into this, but it's almost like prison-like in terms of, like, you get into prison and you have to join a faction to stay relevant. I almost feel like in New Japan, if you're not part of a faction, then you could be and you could end up getting lost in the shuffle. I'm kind of formulating that opinion right now because of the Taguchi Japan thing. I can't say it. But I'm thinking about Marty Scurll in New Japan, and I'm like, man, he kind of needs it. Like, if he doesn't join a faction, how is he going to stand out? And you'd think that by not joining a faction, you might have a chance at standing out. But I don't think it works that way in New Japan. You kind of have, like, look at Zack Sabre Jr. He showed up immediately, joined Suzuki-gun. You know, it's like you almost have to be part of a faction to have any of the spotlight because they are so heavy on spotlighting those, what is it, four or five factions now. Suzuki-gun, Taguchi, Chaos, Los Ingobernables, LIJ.
And Bullet Club.
Bullet Club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's going to join any of them, it makes the most sense to join Bullet Club, I feel, just because of his relationship with the other Ring of Honor guys.
And also with Adam Cole probably leaving Ring of Honor, I guess Marty Scurll could take his place as you know the main solo star.
Well, it was
single star in the States.
It was also kind of you had with Omega and Cole, you had kind of a double alpha male situation. Like Adam Cole was kind of the de facto, you know, he was the biggest star, you know, of Ring of Honor who was in Bullet Club. And he was, you know, but then you have Kenny Omega, who's leader of Bullet Club. You have sort of two alpha dogs. Marty Scurll kind of exists in his own dimension almost. You know, he's a very quirky individual. He's a very sort of interesting character who isn't sort of that almost generic male alpha dog thing that Adam Cole is. I'm not calling him generic. I'm just saying that that's sort of the bill he fits. Marty Scurll is a very, so he's sort of a loose cannon type character. Mm-hmm. And that could make for an interesting dynamic in Bullet Club.
Yeah. It could maybe be more akin to when AJ was in charge and Kenny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 No, that's a very good analogy.
Was kind of like the second in command. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I don't know. I kind of feel like it's, like at first I was like, man, I just feel like, especially with, you know, 2 months ago or whenever it was, and I know Kazarian joined to eventually swerve Bullet Club for his best friendo. But it, when that happened, it was like, oh my God, Kazarian swerved his best friend. It's like, oh, they're just, and everybody and anybody is joining Bullet Club. And it's sort of the knee jerk reaction to feel that way with Skrull. But I don't know. I think he's a guy who needs to take sort of a next step of some sort.
Yeah.
Being in Super Juniors tournament is good. And then joining Bullet Club, We'll see how it all pans out.
And I guess there was, spoiler alert, TV tapings following War of the Worlds.
Yeah, this is a big spoiler. So people who don't want to,
like, skip ahead maybe a minute or two.
Yeah.
Adam Cole faced Marty Scurll in a match. Following the match, we won't tell you who won. Following the match, Adam Cole picked up the mic, dropped a promo.
Mm-hmm. Didn't exactly say goodbye, but...
No, but he said something along the lines of, you know, his home will always be in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, no matter what happens next.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, next means NXT.
When New Japan announced the U.S. Tournament, it occurred to me that it would be possible Adam Cole signs on with New Japan for a year.
Oh, I kind of thought that, too.
Because, you know, in one of his interviews he gave recently, he teased that there was a match between him and Kenny Omega happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's take some questions.
He meant at WrestleMania 35.
Oh, yeah. Let's take some questions.
All right.
The face who got sprayed with mace.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, friendos, first-time patron here. First time asking a question. Thank you very much. So with Adam Cole,
baby,
out of Bullet Club, do we see him make an appearance at TakeOver Chicago this Saturday? And if so, where do you think he would be put in the fold of things? Is he automatically going to be in the NXT title picture or somewhere on the mid-card? Let me know your thoughts. Thanks, friendos. It's the safest bet right now is that he'll be in Chicago for NXT this weekend.
Yeah.
Assuming he joins NXT at some point this summer on a full-time basis, I would suspect that he would be placed somewhere in the mid-card to build him up over the course of a couple months to eventually push him into the main event. I think he's young enough they can take their time. There's so many other people right now at the top of the card in NXT. They can have him spend 2-3 months, you know, at first wrestling some Performance Center wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Get him familiar with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Give him plenty of mic time.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually start working him into feuds.
There's been enough singles men male competitors that have gone through NXT. Can you point to one over the past year or two that you can point to and say he'll probably take that path?
Finn Balor.
You think the Finn Balor treatment?
Big. I know. I'm more talking about his path through NXT, not necessarily afterwards.
It's impossible to state what is.
Yeah, but I mean, Finn in NXT, he was brought in to fanfare, but he wasn't pushed immediately to the main event.
Okay,
you know, he wrestled. He had a few undercard feuds. He and Samoa Joe won the first Dusty Classic, and it was after that that he finally got the main event push.
Right, right.
So it was several months. Yeah. He was in NXT before he got the huge push. So I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Cole is in NXT for a year or two. Mm-hmm. You know, they take their time with him because he is young.
Yeah.
And you know, within a year, assuming especially if Bobby Roode gets moved up, if Drew McIntyre gets moved up to main, that he can be the guy that can carry NXT for 6 months to a year.
Yeah. I would say, I would think, how long was Finn actually in NXT?
Well, he was champ for almost a year.
Gee willikers.
So at least 18 months, I would think, if not okay. 2 years.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good...
kind of template.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Makes sense. Let's see here. Hamza Halal says, do you think Adam Cole leaving Bullet Club... How would Adam Cole leaving Bullet Club affect them long term? I don't think it'll have that much effect. I mean, it'll be interesting if Kenny Omega does leave come January, February, whenever his contract would be up. And it's also going to depend on what happens between now and then. If Kenny wins the title either at Dominion, which I think seems likely, then a big spotlight's going to be placed on Bullet Club. There's going to need to be some sort of heir apparent, sort of a second in waiting.
Yes.
And I wonder, I mean, that could be Skrull, perhaps. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I mean, because like you said, you know, Kenny was sort of in that position.
Yeah.
Sort of the wild card.
Yeah.
Ooh, wild card. Ooh.
Above titles, Alex C. Oh, we kind of talked this already. Do you think Adam Cole will have a short stay in NXT like Owen to become a cornerstone for the brand in a lengthy stay like Finn? I think the latter is more likely.
Yeah, I think so too. Magnum TA champion Nathan Raglan. Oh, it's his birthday post. Happy birthday,
Happy
Nathan
birthday.
Raglan. What gimmick do you think WWE will either give Adam Cole or let him have?
Just let him be Adam Cole.
I think they're going to give him a janitor gimmick. He's going to be a janitor. So he's going to be like sanitation worker? Like,
no, I know what a janitor is.
His matches will be like, hold on a second, I was cleaning this poop. No. I think, you know, well, I mean, do you think they're going to have him change his name?
No.
You don't think so?
Especially if he starts at NXT, no.
But there's already a Cole there.
I understand. Michael Cole, first of all, isn't a wrestler. And if they're worried about confusion when they bring Adam Cole up to Maine, just...
I've got anybody confused.
Put him on SmackDown, no confusion at all. I think all the talk about Adam Cole having to change his name is probably much ado about nothing. He's a large enough star that he comes with a brand that it benefits WWE to have him keep his name.
I would think so.
I definitely
agree with that, yeah.
Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray. Do you guys like Marty Skrull joining Bullet Club in the long run? Because I was a fan of him by himself. Yeah, I was too, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean... Yeah, I like it. I think this morning I didn't like it. Now I do like it. Now that I thought about it in my head. Mike Demopoulos, the kayfabe Mark. Who wins NXT title first, Adam Cole or Drew McIntyre? You think Drew takes that off of Bobby Roode?
I would think he's the odds on favorite right now.
Who else is on? Well, Aleister Black, but we have doubts about whether or not he might just zoom up there to Maine.
Did you watch his main event match?
No.
Against Curt Hawkins?
No.
It's pretty quick.
And how much offense did Curt Hawkins get? Oh,
very little.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, oh. I'll have to check that out. But it doesn't really. It's like I know what I'm getting into.
The whole thing, Curt Hawkins promo, Aleister's entrance in the match takes 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Less than 5 minutes.
That's fantastic. You hit him with the black mask.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Larson, sorry to interrupt you, champion Dylan Superkick Scribner.
Scribner.
Hey, friendos, with Skrull joining Bullet Club, I just wanted to see if you guys thought it was a waste of his talents. He's such a great standalone talent that it seems strange for him to join an ever-growing faction. As I said earlier, if it's, you know, if there's plans on having him maybe lead Bullet Club or have him in the faction in the event that they need a new leader, I think that's a decent enough idea, potentially a really good one.
And again, I just think that in New Japan, like, factions are the thing. You have, like, you show up, you have to declare, you have to be in a faction. Like I said, like my stint in prison, I had to join a faction.
You were never in prison.
I had to join a faction, man.
You were never in prison. Read the next question.
I was a tattoo artist in prison. You didn't know that? You don't know everything about me. El Ingobernable del Central Valley Mexiturtle says, hey, friendos, do you guys think there's any chance at all Adam Cole, baby, signs with New Japan full-time instead of NXT? This is a big swerve, Larson.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Who? What faction is he going to join? Can't be Bullet Club.
I don't think it'd be Chaos.
Suzuki-gun.
Especially if he's going
to
try to...
Imagine him trying to crack wise with members of Suzuki-gun.
Taguchi Japan.
Oh, no way. God, what talking about torpedoing your career.
Dan Baxter. First time, friendo. I sent you the picture of Adam Cole saying farewell to Ring of Honor on Twitter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan Baxter.
Dan Baxter's question is, what do you think his ceiling can be in NXT and WWE? He thinks the sky is the limit in NXT, but the main roster, he may get lost a bit. That's why I'm hoping he stays in NXT for a while, really build up his brand.
They create stars in NXT, man. They know what they're doing. I would think that his ceiling is pretty high across the board. I would say SmackDown Women's Champion is his ceiling.
We have a video question.
I think WWE World Champion. Anybody can be World Champion.
Yeah.
Orton's World Champion now. Look at that guy.
We have one video question from Shane Strickland.
I saw this guy wrestle at the Progress show. It's fantastic.
He is very good.
Different Shane Strickland. See what he has to say.
Steven Larson, it's the perfect banana picker, Shane Strickland here. Yes, I'm better than the wrestler. With two questions. One, an underrated wrestler who you think never really got a chance to shine in WWE, but maybe did somewhere else. Mine is Elix Skipper. Loved the guy. Shined in Impact. He did the cage walk into the Hurricanrana. One of the most epic moments in TNA's history. Part two is if you could start adding members to factions, maybe how Marty Scurll just recently was added to the Bullet Club, who would you add? I say this because I was just on Twitter and see all of his new designs for his shirts, and they're magnificent. My wife is going to hate me, and my bank account is going to hate me when I pick these up. So, who would you add to the Bullet Club, mainly for possibility of amazing designs? Let me know.
Thank you, Shane. Who would you add? Who would you add to Bullet Club? All right,
anybody?
Yeah, Grumpa Goose. You're like, I don't want CM Skrull.
Punk. See,
John Cena. John Cena is the
Randy
best
Orton.
Randy Orton. There you go.
See him wrestle in New Japan.
See him wrestle in some PWG matches at the Armory. Who would I want to see join Bullet Club? Stevie Ray. Mr. Perk. No, he's dead. Silas Young.
Oh, dear.
And the Beer City Bruiser. I just want the Beer City Bruiser. That'd be great. I don't know. I'm really interested to see what they do with Skrull. I hope they make like a big deal about it.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
I mean, if the new t-shirts design, are any indication.
Oh, he's all in, man.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I hope that they give it more of a reason for him than they did with Cody. Cody felt so much like, oh, because he was the biggest sort of, you know, guy from WWE. He was literally working every show, like every indie show poster you saw the same Cody picture. And so I was like, okay, well, I mean, at least they gave him a cool sort of cinematic to debut as the American Nightmare.
And he had a neat shirt.
But then when he actually debuted at Wrestle Kingdom, nobody from Bullet Club flanked him. He barely had Bullet Club branding on him.
Yeah.
It didn't feel Bullet Club-ish.
No.
It still kind of doesn't.
No.
And so I want there to be a concrete reason why Skrull's in Bullet Club. I want him to be flanked by Bullet Club members.
Yes.
I want him constantly to be in six-man tag matches with Hangman Page and Chase Owens. Because that's what you have to do if you're Bullet Club. I don't think Cody's done that yet.
No, he was in the second night of Honor Rising. He was in a tag match with
Hangman. I know he's been in a Hangman match.
No, I think it was Adam Cole. It was Kenny Omega, and it was...
Oh, yeah, I know, but no, it needs to be either Hangman Page or Chase Owens.
Gotcha. Okay, now I understand.
If Skrull... I want to see like a cinematic where Skrull interacts with Tokyo Pimp.
Okay.
I feel there's not enough interaction between like the pure New Japan guys and like the Ring of Honor guy. I want more interaction.
Okay. That's a fair point, I guess.
I know it is. Larson, let's move along.
Yes.
UK show. So last week on the dirt sheet, we made an appeal to WWE. We said, look, TakeOver's coming up next weekend.
Well, logic dictated that we make that appeal.
Okay. So the United... Oh, I think it was the NXT thing. The NXT recap. Because it was announced that the UK Championship, which is kind of homeless at this point because it doesn't have its own
show, was going to be defended at NXT TakeOver Chicago between...
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne was getting a shot at the belt against Tyler Bate.
And the reason it was Pete Dunne is because he won this UK tournament thing.
It wasn't a tournament. It was just number one contender match.
Oh, number one contender match. It was him versus who? Trent Seven? No.
Yeah.
It was Trent Seven?
I believe so.
That guy already had a title shot on NXT.
But he's Trent Seven.
Yeah, that's true. Why wasn't it Jordan Devlin? Is he still recovering from having his literal brain like removed from his head?
I don't remember if he was on the
that was so shocking.
On the card. I know.
I still can't unsee that. That is still so
it's
shocking.
Pretty bad. So this morning WWE officially announced that it's going to be a UK special is going to air this Friday.
Brilliant.
The day before NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Wonderful.
On the WWE Network, I guess, and the show will encompass. The recently taped material they did during the European tour in
Norwich,
England. And this is very exciting.
Yes.
Jim Ross. And Nigel McGuinness.
Is Jim Ross going to do an English accent?
Probably not.
By God.
And Nigel McGuinness are going to be calling the action. That's very exciting. That should be fantastic.
Oh, I cannot wait. This is going to be great. Everything be great. I love in life, minus like boobs, is going to be on TV. Jim Ross.
Yeah.
British accents. Bruiserweights, England, everything good. Like, just have Benny Hill running by. I'll be so happy.
Oh, dear.
And maybe put it on the Enterprise in Star Trek.
There you
I
go.
Like Star Trek, too. Yeah, this is going to be good. Like, our question was answered because we're sitting here. Shouldn't we know that this happened?
Should we know why Pete Dunne is number one contender?
Exactly. There was matches like
because we knew they were going to tape this stuff.
Two shows. I'm fine with him being number one contender, not even knowing that he had to fight for it.
But knowing these shows happened, they were taped.
Like, were they never going to air these? But no, we got our answer. They're airing them. They listened to us.
But last I
still like the idea that Vince watches Going in Raw every day.
I know.
And is like, was sitting there, hey.
But here's the thing is that we've been waiting to hear some word about a regular hour-long weekly UK show. And this isn't it. This is a special.
This is a special.
A special. That's a WWE.com branded as a UK special.
Do you think Vince has made a decision on this?
No. That's why this is a special and not the first episode of an ongoing series.
Let's see how I like it.
So let's take some questions regarding this United Kingdom show.
The South Texas Tiger Dan Cannon says, what would you name? So let's say Vince finally does put together the UK show. He said, okay, we're going to have it 1 hour every week, just like Steven Larson wants, on the network. What are we going to call it? You know what I would do? I would have Vince McMahon purchase the rights to my favorite show growing up when I lived in England called Smash Hits.
Okay.
It showcased popular music at the time, so you'd get all the best of like Bross, Duran Duran, Kylie Minogue,
yes,
Jason Donovan.
Okay,
those are all Australian acts. And then Duran Duran wasn't. And then there'd be some American acts here too, like Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston.
If this show were to take place WWE like during Smash the Attitude era, I could see them calling it Anarchy in the UK.
Oh, I love that! That's great. That's fantastic.
I don't know if they do that now though.
Can they call it WWE, never mind the bollocks.
Okay. Here comes the bruiserweight.
WWE, Benny Hill.
Not as inspired,
doesn't
Steve.
Doesn't make sense. WWE, keeping up appearances.
The specialist, Lewis West.
I could go all day long doing that.
Do you think that a short-term British strong-style-led invasion of the U.S. shows would elevate the brand before the U.K. show goes weekly? I don't know if it would elevate it, but it'd be awesome. To see Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven as British Strong Style on WWE TV.
I think it will. I mean, it gives some much needed exposure.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And making it like,
seeing
exciting.
Those three guys together is so awesome.
So much fun.
They're so good together.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
It really is.
How bummed out is Tyler Bate going to be, though? Because he's going to lose his title. Pete Dunne's picking up his title takeover.
Probably.
I think that's going to happen. And they're going to go back, and they're finally going to have their own show, and Tyler Bate's going to be like, well, I was the champion when the championship was homeless. The specialist, Lewis West, says, three-time Motor City champion Gene the Grappler. So WWE is going to finally have an actual UK show on the network. My question is, will this show only have guys from the UK, or could we also see a spotlight on the women of the UK as well?
That would be cool if they did that.
A lot of really, really good women UK wrestlers out there.
That'd be great if they had a women wrestling on the UK show.
Tony Storm.
But I guess it remains to be seen following the women's tournament if they're going to have a weekly show dedicated to participants from the women's tournament.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So we'll see.
When was the UK tournament? How long have we been waiting?
January.
Yeah, my goodness, we're waiting
for
forever.
But then 205 Live happened in a matter of 2 or 3 months after Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, maybe they just learned their lesson from that. I'm excited about this UK thing, man. I think the branding is going to be on point.
Yeah.
the perfect banana picker, Shane Strickland. Oh, Shane again. He's all over this episode. With everything about the UK show coming to light soon, who are some veterans that you would like to see show up like Brian Kendrick did for the Cruiserweights? Him personally, he'd love to see Doug Williams show up. That'd be cool. Some veterans of the British scene. I'm not as well versed as I'd like to be about that.
I'm trying to think of some British talents that appeared in either WWF or WCW back in the day.
Norman Smiley. But he's old.
But he is a trainer at the Performance Center. Yeah.
Fit Finley.
Yeah.
Have him show up. Kind of all I got.
Yeah, me too.
I got nothing else, man. I got nothing else. Fit Finley, Norman Smiley. Those are two quality names.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, how many, like, Brian Kendrick is kind of a unique situation just because, you know, that dude was like, what, 19 when he was with
the WWE first? Yeah.
He's pretty young. And not a lot of people, like, keep up to that, to his level.
I know.
Over time.
D'Lo Brown's chest protector. Hey, friend, as a Brit, I'm a bit confused why the UK show is being shown at 1 a.m. here. Do you think the U.S. will tune in en masse for a UK show? Thanks. I'm going to. I think wrestling fans, especially those who watched the UK tournament and enjoyed it, will tune in for this special.
Let me ask you something. What? Once the weekly show starts, what's going to get better ratings, the UK show or 205 Live?
A lot of it depends on the venues for the UK show, how well it's booked, quality of the matches.
I actually wonder what percentage of the network viewing audience is from the UK. Because I know they're...
That's a good question.
I know, like, they've got the second highest TV revenue from the UK, WWE does. And I would imagine, given the, you know, the passion we see at all the shows they run over there.
Yes.
I would think that the network does pretty okay over the UK,
I think so.
But I have no idea what, like, the split is. But it's going to be a huge litmus test to see, you know, in terms of the localities.
Yeah.
Because then can we get, like, you know, if India is their third biggest TV market, could we get, like, an India tournament? I don't know what the talent level is like over there necessarily. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
The depth of talent.
Yeah.
So yeah, good questions. One last, we're gonna reluctantly touch this one. You even asked me beforehand, are we gonna touch this news story? And I said we have to touch this news story because everybody's talking about it, even though it's stupid.
Yeah. So over the weekend,
Twitter beefs in general are stupid.
Yeah. There's a Canadian wrestler named Daniel Parker.
Daniel Parker, the D-Man.
Who posted something on Twitter, you know, like his reaction, his feelings about indie wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read a little bit of this tweet, I think it was.
Okay.
Tweet. Every indie wrestling match now. Handshake, drawn out move exchange, this is awesome chant, strike exchange, dive, no sell, indie strong style, dive, more strikes, no sells, dive, flippy, floppy sequence, dive, hit everyone with each other's finishers, then Humpty Dumpty, we all fall down, fight forever chant. I'm just read the whole thing. Rinse and repeat until every move is useless and means nothing, dive. And he continues on.
Yeah.
What are the three dots called?
Ellipses.
Is that what it is?
No, wait. Yes, it's ellipses.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is to insinuate.
This is quotation marks.
Yes.
This is parentheses.
Yes.
This is ellipses.
Okay. So insinuation is dive, continue.
Right.
And then Rip Rogers, who was an older wrestler who I think was a trainer or still does training.
Dude, he's the most
retweeted
WCW
that
from the early 80s.
Randy Orton, who according to this Inquisitor article here, was at one point one of Randy Orton's trainers. Randy Orton retweeted it, and then that picked up steam.
Yeah.
So, you know, several wrestlers got involved. Will Ospreay commented on it, EC3. And then Randy Orton issued somewhat of an apology.
He said, I feel I need to apologize. And he wrote down some things on it. Yeah, so he said he's only on 8% on his phone. So maybe he was just under the gun to write something very quickly and didn't really
think out.
Oh,
that could be before his battery died.
Yeah.
Yes, good point.
Anyways, it said, sorry to the indie marks. Indie guys and old timers who do dives that took offense, just having a good time over a few drinks in Denmark, closing the SmackDown Live tour while beating Raw and making over $5 million in the last 11 shows. Now I know to some that doesn't equate to a standing room only crowd of 150 people paying $8 at an armory somewhere, but in the big boy world, that's called putting asses in seats. So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match, to each their own. I will go dive back into my 13th title run and get ready to flip when my back bank statement comes this month. Headlock. Ellipses, headlock.
Yeah.
So, and then people started going, why would you talk about indies, Randy Orton? But then low-key tweeted out, unfortunately, you're protected in the WWE. Come out to the real world and test your tantrum with adults. So low-key wants to kick Randy Orton in the head really hard, give him a concussion, and continue to beat on him. Like he did that time. Samoa Joe added as well. He added something about Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. He said to all you people, I'm paraphrasing, to all you people on wishing Happy Mother's Day on your social media accounts that you never want your mothers to read. Samoa Joe won everything.
Yeah. So when I read about all this, I immediately thought about the to-do made over Will Ospreay and Ricochet's match during last year's Best of Super Junior tournament.
Vader, why would you say things?
But it's like there's wrestling, you know, if you compare it to other art forms, there's, I guess you could say, different genres.
Yeah, sure.
There's different styles.
Yeah.
They're all equally as valid.
Yeah, people get,
I mean,
so
comedy, I know comedy is no less valid than drama, no less valid than sci-fi. There, as long as you find them entertaining. Some people don't find them entertaining. Some people don't like sci-fi. That's fine. Don't watch sci-fi.
Yeah.
Other people do like sci-fi.
And then people get all upset about, well, the Oscars don't nominate comedies or sci-fi. And it's like, well, they do sometimes, but like, I get the point. Like, you want your validation. Everybody, here's the thing. Everybody loves their validation. We know that. And especially in the wrestling world, people get very defensive. It was like when that fella from Kings of Leon tweeted out something about adults shouldn't be watching pro wrestling, or hey, adults, let's not be watching pro, some crap like that. And everybody, oh, your music sucks, you're terrible. I used to listen to Kings of Leon all the time.
I don't care what Kings of Leon bassist has to say about wrestling.
And in fact, when you tweet back at him, you're kind of validating, like, you know, whatever point he's not making. You know, it's like, well, if you don't respond to him, it'll just be like a fart that nobody smells. You know, it'd be like, who cares?
Yeah.
It'll be like, who cares?
Yeah.
His opinion is not validated. So I don't know. Like, it obviously Randy Orton, look, it's a really easy way to kick up a shitstorm.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton literally said that's what he was doing. Who cares? Didn't Bubba Ray?
Yeah. He was defending the indie style, saying, I think he said something like, 'cause he had a show, or Ring of Honor had a show at what used to be the ECW Arena. Mm. And then he did like a top rope move.
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton said, dive more like a fall.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know?
So there was a lot of Twitter back and forth. But I mean, if you enjoy pro wrestling, regardless of the style, just enjoy it. And if you don't like particular styles, then just don't watch those styles.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think that's it.
I know, like, a lot of people love Randy Orton. I personally feel like he sleepwalks his way through a lot of, I know I sleep my way through a lot of his matches. Best time I ever had live was probably at the PWG show we went to, in terms of being like a part of a live crowd that's totally in tune with everything you want from a live crowd.
Yeah,
I was miserable at WrestleMania, but you know, I love WWE, I love PWG, I like all sorts of genres of wrestling, as you put it.
Well, then, you know, it seemed like a lot of the old school wrestlers, from what I gather, especially from Vader's critique of the Ospreay Ricochet match, it doesn't feel like any of the moves have impact. And I think they feel like wrestling should emulate a fight.
Yeah.
That you should feel like when you hit somebody, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And for me, style is there to enhance story.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that really matters for me. If you can tell a good story in the ring, and how you wrestle acts in service to telling that story, I'm along for the ride.
Yeah.
In terms of how you wrestle the match.
Yeah.
Just tell me a good story, and it can be two huge guys just punching each other. If it's a good story, I'm into it.
Mm.
It can be, you know, a couple of guys doing moonsaults all the time. As long as the story is good, I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an hour of super kicks. Nothing but super kicks. Yeah. If there's a good story there, I'll be into it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just story comes first. And it, so long as whatever style is being wrestled enhances the story, I'm fine with it.
We see such a wide variety of wrestling styles these days. And
people synthesizing those styles into interesting styles of their
and
own.
And then, like, if you get a dude like Jeff Cobb wrestling a guy like, I don't know, like an Ospreay or like or Leo Rush, perhaps.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get a very, very interesting sort of, because it's two guys who really know what they're doing within their own styles, and you're going to get a very interesting clash of those styles.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a styles clash, if you will. And so I don't know. I think it's a really fun time right now. And, you know, Rip Rogers has what he has to say, and it's a valid opinion. Orton has his opinion that's valid because he's been in the industry for a long time. And, you know, everybody's opinion is what it is. You
yeah.
know? Well, who cares? So, yeah, it's a silly story. Was there any questions about that one?
Yeah, we had one from the 30-time European champion, Dwayne Nix. Oh, that's right.
Oh, Dwayne Nix.
Heat on Randy Orton for taking shots at IWC. Personally, I don't
get it.
Most of the IWC take shots at WWE all the time. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah. It's weird to me that, like, you need to choose a side in so much of stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, why can't I enjoy old school wrestling and indie wrestling?
I can
enjoy both.
We have the thing that I think is one appeal of what we do here on the show is that you and I have our predilections that are very much based, not necessarily on, oh, well, this is how wrestling should be. It's, I find this weird, funny, strange, or stupid, and that's why I then like it or dislike it.
Yeah, or we get involved in the story being told in the ring, and then we get into it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think that we sort of have our opinions based in, like, who we are. And nobody can take that. Nobody can say that's wrong or take that away, you know? And I kind of think that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like I think we have an open mind on a lot of different things in wrestling.
Yes.
That was one thing that I noticed also at WrestleMania, like when we were there and seeing all the wide variety of shows that were being put on. There was like, what, 40 shows or whatever being put on.
Yeah.
And you just get a massively wide variety from the ludicrous, absurd, all the way to, like, you know, the technical and and the old school.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's room for everything, and everybody was having a good time. It was just a big celebration.
Yeah.
So I don't know. People taking everything says, oh, how dare you say that about wrestling? You know what? It's, who cares what people say?
It's supposed to be a form of entertainment.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy it.
Exactly.
We
have mail. Somebody sent us something from Amazon. Or maybe this is... No, it is from Amazon.
Amazon. It's got tape on it.
So Amazon sent us something.
Thank you. I'm going to get my keys out.
Yeah. There you go. Look at that. Just like in prison, you stab and then you rip. Oh, God. Stone Cold just kidding.
That's the theme for this episode, huh?
Yeah. Prison. It's a rough, rough place.
Looks like we got some pop.
Ooh. Oh, look at that. Undertaker. My legacy. What's that? Oh, and the thing. Look at that. The dream match that we never got.
That we'll never get.
That will never happen. If we did, it would be kind of sad because both these men are supremely old. The Undertaker.
This is from Aaron.
Oh.
It says, hi, Steven Larson. Enjoy the gift.
Oh, well, thank you very much,
Aaron. Thank you very much.
That's really awesome of you. Look at that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's cool.
Hello, Sting. And they're at the airport, like at the baggage
claim. Woo!
They're at the baggage claim together. Which one is yours? I brought a baseball bag. It's easier because I have very long things that I have to put in there.
But then Sting would bring a baseball bag, too, because his bat.
He's got the Ulysses Killer. That's right. Anyways, that's it for Going In Raw for today. We've got tonight, speaking of which, we've got WGPW tonight.
Yes.
Should be a fun episode. And tomorrow we've got a Raw recap. Fun wrestling.
And fun wrestling. Got a huge, huge, massive, shocking episode of Fun Wrestling coming this week. It's really shocking.
Probably not. Anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.